Namah Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaman Namali Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Dejatarne Sahom Maganatimirandasha Dhananjana Shilakaya Chakshtur Hun Miditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened our eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while we were blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Okay, so we're going to go on with the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivinoda. So, good to see everybody. I thought we'd just have a little interesting video. Here at Nugaloka, we have many attractive features because we're trying to make all the features here as attractive as possible so that people will want to join us in Nugaloka. The whole purpose of Nugaloka is to attract people to Krishna consciousness. And so we have a lot of interesting things here, in addition to chanting Hare Krishna and the beautiful deities of Sri Sri Radha Golokananda. We have a lot of interesting things for devotees to do and a lot of interesting outreach programs and a lot of opportunities to take responsibility for different aspects of the Krishna consciousness movement. So, okay, let us go ahead and share the screen. And then we will, let me just turn this one thing off. All right, we'll share the screen. We'll go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're still on the fifth chapter of the Adi Leela, talking about the glories of Lord Nityananda. And it's very important to talk about the glories of Lord Nityananda. Why? I'll tell you why. Because Lord Nityananda, Balaram Hoile Nitai, Lord Nityananda is Balaram. Balaram is the original spiritual master, and Nayamat Mahabala, he and I na, Labwa, without the mercy of Balaram Nityananda, no one can make any spiritual advancement, so we're all dependent upon Lord Nityananda. Ha, Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi, but Ami Bharo Dukhi, we are most unhappy in this world. But Premananda Sukhi, Lord Nityananda is very happy. Nitya Ananda. And by associating with Lord Nityananda, one gets free of all material desires and one experiences unlimited happiness. So now we are going to go to the reading. So text 59, and for those of you who want to raise your little hands, you'll get a chance to read a little later after I do my reading. So, Jagat Karananahi Prakati Jadarupa Shakti Sancharya Tare Krishna Kare Kripa. Because Prakriti is dull and inert, it cannot be the cause of the material world. But Lord Krishna shows his mercy by infusing his energy into the dull, inert material nature. As we mentioned before, the prakriti in its unmanifest state is called the pradana. And Lord Krishna injects us. Of course, he's not as Lord Krishna, but as his expansion, which is not different from Lord Krishna, is the Mahavishnu. He looks at the material energy and bingo, we are planted or implanted within the material nature. And the material nature starts to take shape. He infuses energy into the dull, inert material nature. Krishna Shaktiye Prakatihai Gona Karana Ogni shakti lohai aiche kareye jarana. Thus, prakriti, by the energy of Lord Krishna, becomes a secondary cause, just as iron becomes red hot by the energy of fire. Ataiva Krishna mula jagat karana. Prakriti karana yaiche ayaja galastana. Therefore, Lord Krishna is the original cause of the cosmic manifestation. Prakriti is like the nipples on the neck of a goat, for they cannot give any milk. And Prabhupada explains that the external energy composed of pradhana, or prakriti, pradhana is the unmanifest stage of the modes of material nature, of the material energy, the bowl or the ball of a clay or silly putty. Or prakriti, as the ingredient supplying portion, and maya as the causal portion, is known as maya shakti. The inert material nature is not the actual cause of the material manifestation. For karana vashayi, Mahavishnu, the planetary expansion of Krishna, agitates all the ingredients. By looking at the ingredients, not by touching the ingredients, it is in this way the material nature has the power to supply the ingredients. The example given is that iron has no power to heat or burn, but after coming in contact with fire, the iron becomes red hot and then can infuse heat and burn other things. Material nature is like iron, for it has no independence to act without the touch of Vishnu, who is compared to fire. Lord Vishnu activates material nature by the power of his glance, which is what I just said. That's sa'ekshita. And then the iron-like material nature becomes a material supplying agent, just as iron made red hot becomes a burning agent. Material nature cannot independently become an agent for supplying the material ingredients. This is more clearly explained by Sri Kapila Deva, an incarnation of Godhead in Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 28th chapter, text 40. Yatolmukad vishpulinga dumadvapi svasambhavat apyatmat fena vimatad yakagni pratagumukad. Although smoke, flaming wood, and sparks are all considered together as ingredients of a fire, the flaming wood is nevertheless different from the fire, and the smoke is different from the flaming wood. Material elements, earth, water, fire, etc., like smoke, the living entities are like sparks, and material nature, as pradhana, is like flaming wood. But all of them together are recipients of power from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and are thus able to manifest their individual capacities. In other words, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin of all manifestations. Material nature can supply only when it is activated by the glance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as a woman can deliver a child after being impregnated by the semen of a man, so material nature can supply the material elements after being glanced upon by Mahavishnu. Therefore, pradhana cannot be independent of the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita in the 9th chapter, text 10, Maya Yakshena. Prakriti, suyate sachadacharam. Prakriti, the total material energy, works under the superintendence of the Lord. The original source of the material elements is Krishna. Therefore, the attempt of the atheistic Sankhya philosophers to consider material nature the source of these elements for getting Krishna is useless. By trying to get milk from the nipple-like bumps of skin hanging on the neck of a goat. So this is similar to what Prabhupada talked about with the scientists. The scientists, they say that consciousness is an epiphenomena of matter. That means by a particular combination of matter, material elements, consciousness manifests itself. Well, maybe they should try doing it, see if it works for them. It doesn't. They can create Frankenstein. For those of you who don't know who Frankenstein is, that's okay. You shouldn't know. Actually, it's a movie and a story about a man who created Frankenstein. And then Second movie, or the third movie, was called The Bride of Frankenstein. Because Frankenstein, the monster created by Dr. Frankenstein, had to have a wife, you know. So if you're going to create something out of the material elements, you better create a wife for the person, too. So you can't do that. Nowadays, of course, in Japan, for people who are very lonely, they actually create companions, robots, with very, very close to human features. Very, very close. And even some hotels you go into in Japan, you're greeted at the reception desk by a humanoid robot. But there's no consciousness. Mayangse kahitare mitakarana sehanahi yate karta itu narayana. The Maya aspect of material nature is the immediate cause of the cosmic manifestation, but it cannot be the real cause, for the original cause is Lord Narayan, obviously. Gotira nimitahi tu nachi kumbhakara taiche jagatera karta purushavatara. Just as the original cause of an earthen pot is the potter, so the creator of the material world is the first Purusha incarnation. Karana Rashai Vishnu, or sometimes Karana Akshai Vishnu, sometimes Mahavishnu. Krishna Karta, Mahitanra Karena Sahaya, Gatira Karana Chakra Dandari Upaya. Lord Krishna is the creator, and Maya only helps him as an instrument, just like the potter's wheel and other instruments, which are the instrumental causes of a pot. Just like if you're listening to music, you don't give the credit to the musical instrument. You give the credit to the person who plays the musical instrument. The musical instrument without someone to play it does not work unless it's electronic and it's or even programmed in by some musician. So, Durahite Purushkari Mayati Avadana. Jivarupa Viryatate Parena Adana. The first Purusha, that is Mahavishnu, casts his glance at Maya from a distance because he never touches her. Krishna never comes in contact with the material energy. Remember that. And thus he impregnates her with the seed of life in the form of the living entities. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that's us, buddies. And we become a zap into the material energy at the time of the creation. And at the time of the dissolution, unzap. We go back into the Mahavishnu. We don't lose our identity, but you know, it's like a state of suspended animation, you know, anesthesia, whatever you may call it, coma, like that. And at the time of the new creation, zap again. And then the Mahavishnu expands as the Garbhadakshay Vishnu in each and every universe and expands again as the Shiradakshay Vishnu, who reminds us of our previous activities. All right. In the last lifetime, and during the last lifetime of Lord Brahma, a long time ago, the Hashri Yuga Pariyantam. 1,000 ages taken together is Lord Brahma's day, 1,000 ages what Lord Brahma's night, 365 days a year, and he must have a leap year, 366, 100 years, long time we've been sleeping. And then he reminds us, yeah, that's what you used to be doing. You used to be going to the movies a lot, okay. You used to be playing with your computer, playing video games, okay. Get back into it. So, Eka Angabhase Kare Mayate Milana Mayahite Janma Tavi Brahma Brahmandera Gana. Reflected rays of his body mix with Maya. Ooh. And thus Maya gives birth to myriad universes. Not only are we impregnated in there, but Lord Shiva interacts with Maya, and then you have all these universes coming out. The Vedic conclusion is that the cosmic manifestation is visible to the eyes of the conditioned soul, is caused by the absolute truth of the personality of Godhead through the exertion of its specific energies. Although in the conclusion of atheistic liberations, this manifested cosmic exhibition is attributed to the principles. Everything's matter, ain't nothing else. It all happened. The Big Bang just happened. He goes in. Whatever. Exploded. There has to be a reason for the explosion. There has to be something that happened before the explosion. And usually, if you have dynamite, a person put it in place. So, anyway, because they're talking about the title bang, or the original bang, anyway. So where did it come from? And that's the question. So, with this, whoops, internet unstable. Even my internet's unstable with the stupid people. So we agree with the scientists when they say there was a big bang. But who caused the big bang? It's Krishna. Krishna is the big bang guy. So anyway, the energy of the absolute truth is exhibited in three ways: spiritual, material, and marginal. Yeah, we've spoken about this before. The absolute truth is identical with the spiritual energy. Only when contacted by the spiritual energy can the material energy work. It's just inert, otherwise it just stays still. And the temporary material manifestations thus appear active. In the conditioned state, the living entities, that's us, of the marginal energy are a mixture of spiritual and material energies. Yep, haven't we all experienced it? The marginal energy is originally under the control of the spiritual energy, but under the control of the material energy, the living entities have been wandering in forgetfulness within the material world since time immemorial. The conditioned state is caused by misuse of the individual independence on the spiritual platform. So we misused our independence. We did it. We're responsible. We weren't just like put here because, you know, God decided, you know, he needed some people in the prison. It's like the government, or good government, wouldn't just decide they just need someone in the prison because, you know, it's all empty. You got to fill it up. We're here because we did something. We acted in a certain way. We had a certain type of consciousness. We are culpable. The proof is you have a material body. That's the proof that you are guilty. Just the fact that you're in prison proves that you're guilty. Where this separates the living entity, because Krishna doesn't convict someone who isn't guilty. Because Krishna knows everything. Nobody gets convicted to this material world because they're innocent. Where this separates the living entity from the association of the spiritual energy. But when the living entity is enlightened by the grace of the Supreme Lord or his pure devotees and becomes inclined to revive his original state of loving service, he is on the most auspicious platform of eternal bliss and knowledge by Prabhupada's mercy. The marginal jiva, that's us, or living entity misuses his independence and becomes averse, that means against, to the eternal service attitude when he independently thinks he is not energy, but the energetic. I'm the boss. Ishwara, hum, humble giver. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. Siddho hum. I am powerful, energetic. It's just like it. I mean, it would be just like, let's say you have an electronic device and you take out the battery, and would it work? No. That's ridiculous. You need the battery. The battery is Krishna. This misconception of his own existence leads him to the attitude of lording it over material nature. I'm the Lord here. King of my castle. The material nature appears to be just the opposite of the spiritual energy. The fact is that the material energy can work only when in contact with the spiritual energy. Originally, the energy of Krishna is spiritual, but it works in diverse ways. Like electrical energy, which can exhibit the functions of refrigerating or heating through its manifestation in different ways. The material energy is spiritual energy covered by the cloud of illusion or Maya. Therefore, material energy is not self-sufficient in working. Krishna invests his spiritual energy into material energy, and it can act, just as iron can act like fire after being heated by fire. Material energy can act only when empowered by the spiritual energy. When covered by the cloud of the material energy, the living entity is also a spiritual energy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead forgets about the activities of the spiritual energy and considers all that happens in the material manifestation to be wonderful. This whole world is wonderful. So much wonderful death in all the varieties. So many wonderful diseases. So much wonderful old age. Oh my God. I was talking today, or sending messages today to someone, how can I counteract my old age? How can I get rid of the wrinkles and the dark things under my eyes? And they said, just see someone who's expert in cosmetics. So but a person who's engaged, that just covers it up. Just like you say, many times the ladies, they go to a cosmetician. Got that word right? Cosmetician is an expert in cosmetics. And so they can cover up all problems. So we should not be interested in covering up. But a person who is engaged in devotional service and full Krishna consciousness, who is therefore already situated in the spiritual energy, can understand that the material energy has no independent powers. Whatever actions are going on are due to the help of the spiritual energy. The material energy, which is the perverted form of the spiritual energy, presents everything pervertedly. We are all perverts in this material world, thus causing misconceptions and duality. That's true. We're all perverts. We're trying to enjoy things in a perverted way. Material scientists and philosophers conditioned by the spell of material nature suppose that material energy acts automatically, and therefore they are frustrated like an illusion person who tries to get milk from the nipple-like bunches of skin on the neck of a goat. As there is no possibility of getting milk from these bunches of skin, there is similarly no possibility that anyone will be successful in understanding the original cause of creation. By putting forward theories produced by the material energy, such an attempt is a manifestation of ignorance. The material energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Maya or illusion because in two capacities, by supplying the material elements and by causing the material manifestation, you know, the ingredient cause and the efficient cause, it makes the conditioned soul unable to understand the real truth of creation. However, when a living entity is liberated from the conditioned life of matter, he can understand the two different activities of material nature, namely covering and bewildering. So material nature does that. It covers you. Oh, I am the body. And it keeps you. Like you think, oh, maybe I should take up Krishna consciousness. It would be nice. No, you have so many responsibilities. So much to do. You have so many desires. You haven't experienced this world yet, Prabhu. So experience the world first. Then you could take up Krishna consciousness. Yeah, go through it first. Yeah, when you're 80 or something like that. But then you'll be such an old dog, you won't be able to learn any new tricks. The origin of creation is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. The cosmic manifestation is working under the direction of the Supreme Lord, who invests the material energy with three material qualities. That's goodness, passion, and ignorance. Agitated by these qualities, the elements supplied by the material energy produce varieties of things, just as an artist produces varieties of pictures by mixing the three colors, red, yellow, and blue. Yellow represents the quality of goodness, red represents passion, and blue represents ignorance. It's not that blue is bad, it's just in this particular analogy. Therefore, the colorful material creation is but an interaction of the three qualities representing the 80 and 81 varieties of mixtures. 3 times 3 equals 9. 9 times 9 thus equals 81. Deluded by material energy, the conditioned soul enamored by these 81 varieties of manifestations wants to lord it over material energy, just as a moth wants to enjoy a fire. This illusion is the net result of the conditioned soul's forgetfulness of its eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When conditioned, the soul is impelled by the material energy to engage in sense gratification, whereas one enlightened by the spiritual energy engages himself in the service of the Supreme Lord in his eternal relationship. Okay, we're going to let someone else read now, as this purport is another purport that's quite large. I'm almost finished with it now. Quite large purport. So we will, let's see, who are we going to let read now? Okay, we will let Jai Radhika read now. You're allowed to unmute yourself now.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Thank you.
Louder. We can hardly hear
you. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you, but it's just I want everyone to be able to hear you.
Okay. I try to speak the loudest.
Okay, that's
best
good.
I can do. Please accept my humble obeisances to you, Guru Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Krishna is the original cause of the spiritual world, and he is the covered cause of material manifestation. He is also the original cause of the marginal potency, the living entities. He is both the leader and maintainer of the living entities, who are called the marginal potency, because they can act under the protection of the spiritual energy or under the cover of the material energy. With the help of the spiritual energy, we can understand that independence is visible only in Krishna, who by his inconceivable energy is able to act in any way he likes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the absolute whole, and the living entities are parts of the absolute whole. The relationship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entities is eternal. One should never mistakenly think that the spiritual whole can be divided into small parts by the small material energy. The Bhagavad Gita does not support this Mayavadi theory. Rather, it clearly states that the living entities are eternal small fragments of the supreme spiritual whole. As a part can never be equal with the whole, so a living entity is a minute fragment of the spiritual whole cannot be equal to any time the spiritual whole, this absolute personality of Godhead. Although the Supreme Lord and the living entities are qualitatively related as the whole and the parts are nevertheless qualitatively one with the whole. Thus, the living entities, although always qualitatively one with the Supreme Lord, are in a relative position. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the controller of everything, and the living entities are always controlled, either by the spiritual energy or by the material energy. Therefore, a living entity can never become the controller of the material or spiritual energies. The natural position of the living being is always as a subordinate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When one agrees to act in such a position, he attains perfection in life. But if one rebels against this principle, he is in the conditioned state. Text 67. Agyana ananta yata anda sanivesha tata rupe purusha kare sapte prakash. Translation. The Purusha enters each and every one of the countless universes. He manifests himself in as many separate forms as there are universes. Text 68. Purusha nasate yabe bahiraya swavasa nishvasa sabite haya brahmanda prakasha. Translation. When the Purusha exiles, the universes are manifested with each outward breath. Text 69. Punarapi svavasayabe praveshe antare svasha saha brahmanda paise purushasa sharire. Translation. Thereafter, when he inhales all the universes again enter his body, purport. In his form as Karuna Dakshaya Vishnu, the Lord impregnates material nature by his glands. The transcendental molecules of that glands are particles of spirit or spiritual atoms, which appear in different species of life according to the seeds of their individual karma from their previous cosmic manifestation. And the Lord himself, by his partial representation, creates a body of innumerable universes and again enters each of those universes as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. His coming in contact with Maya is explained in the Bhagavad Gita by a comparison between air and the sky. The sky enters everything material, yet it is far away from us. Text 70. Gavakshera radhare yena trasere no chale purushera loma kupe brahmande rajale. Translation. Just as atomic particles of dust passes through the openings of a window, so the networks of universes passes through the pores of the skin of the Purusha. Text 71. Yashyaika nivashita kalam athavalambeya jivanti loma vilaja jagandandanatha vishnur mahansaya yashya kala vishesho govindam adipursham tamaham bhajame. Translation. The Brahmans and other lords of the mundane worlds appear from the pores of Mahavishnu and remain alive for the duration of his one exhalation. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom Mahavishnu is a portion of a plenary portion. Purport. This description of the Lord's creative energy is from the Brahma Samhita 5.48, which Lord Brahma compiled after his personal realization. When Mahavishnu exhales, the spiritual seeds of the universe emanate from him in the form of molecular particles, like those that are visible, three times the size of an atom, with when sunlight is diffused through the small hole. In these days of atomic research, it will be worthwhile engagement for atomic scientists to learn from the statement how the entire creation develops from the spiritual atoms emanating from the body of the Lord. Text 72. Kuvaham tamo mahadam ka charangi vabhu samsveshita tandagata stapta vitasti kaya kvedrig vidha vrigani tanda parunu charaya vatavtava roma vivashrashya cha te mahitvam. Translation. Where am I, a small creature of seven spans the measurement of my own hand? I'm enclosed in the universe composed of material nature, the total material energy, false ego, ether, air, water, and earth. And what is your glory? Unlimited universes pass through the pores of your body, just like particles of dust passing through the openings of a window. Purport. When Lord Brahma, after having stolen all Krishna's calves and coward boys, returned and saw that the calves and the boys were still roaming with Krishna, he offered his prayer. Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 11. In his defeat, a conditioned soul, even one so great as Brahma, who manages the affairs of the entire universe, cannot compare to the personality of the Godhead, for he can produce numberless universes simply by the spiritual rays emanating from the pores of his body. Material scientists should take lessons from the utterance of Sri Brahma regarding our insignificance in comparison to God. In these prayers of Brahma, there is much to learn for those who are falsely puffed up by the accumulation of power.
Okay. Let's someone else read. So most of these points are very explanatory, pretty much explanatory by themselves, and repetitive from what I've described before too. So let's see, who will we pick next? Oh, no one else has their hands up. Oh my God. You are all so shy. Let's see. Someone else. Okay, we'll let Prangovinda, you can go next. You're allowed to unmute now.
Okay, Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances, all goes to Prabhupada Maharaj.
Lotus Prabhupada.
Angsera angsa jai kala taranam govinder pratimurti seva sribaloram. A part of a part of a whole is called kala. Sri Balaram is the counter form of Lord Govinda. Tara eka sarupa sri maha sankarsana tara angsa purusa haya kalet kalate ganana. Balaram's own expansion is called Mahasankarshan, and his fragment, the Purusha, is counted as a kala, or a part of a plenary portion. Jahan ke to kala kahi tiho Mahavishnu, Mahapurusha avatarite ho Sarvajishnu. I say that this kala is Mahavishnu. He is the Mahapurusha, who is the source of all other Purushas and who is all pervading. Garbhadak Shiroda Shai Dohe Purusha Nama Sei Dui Jar Angsa Vishnu Vishadhama. Garbhadak Shai and Shirodak Shai are both called Purushas. They are plenary portions of Karandak Shai Vishnu, the first Purusha, who is the abode of all the universes, purport. The symptoms of the Purusha are described in Loghu Bhagavatamrita. While describing the incarnations of Supreme Personality of Godhead, the author has quoted from the Vishnu Purana 6.8.59, where it is said, "Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Purushottama, Lord Krishna, who is always free from the contamination of the six material dualities, whose plenary expansion, Mahavishnu, glances over matter to create the cosmic manifestation, who expands himself in various transcendental forms, all of which are one and the same, who is the master of all living entities, who is always free and liberated from the contamination of material energy, and who, when he appears in this material world, seems one of us, although he has an eternal spiritual, blissful transcendental form." In summarizing this statement, Rupa Goswami says, concluded that the plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who acts in cooperation with the material energy, is called the Purusha. Vishnu stutri nirupani purushaikhani ato vidhu ekam tu mahato sristri dityam tu andasangstitim tritiyam sarvabhutastam tani geta vimuchyate. Vishnu has three forms called Purushas. The first, Mahavishnu, is the creator of the total energy, Mahat. The second is Garbhadakshayi, who is situated within each universe. And the third is Shirodakshayi, who lives in the heart of every living being. He who knows these three becomes liberated from the clutches of Maya. This verse appears in Loghu Bhagavatamrita 2.9, where it has been quoted from the Sattata Tantra. Jadapi kahiye tare Krishna kala kari matsa kurmadi avatare tiho avatari. Although Karandakshay Vishnu is called a kala of Lord Krishna, he is the source of matsa, kurma, and other incarnations. Ete changsa kala pungsa Krishnastu Bhagavan Sayam. Indriyari vekalam lokam riyayanti yuge yuge. All these incarnations of Godhead, either plenary portions or parts of plenary portions of the Purusha avatar, But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In every age, he protects the world through his different feature when the world is disturbed by the enemies of Indra. This quotation is from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.20.
Okay, yeah, you could stop right there. Okay, I just want to comment on a little bit about this verse and about some of what's gone on previously. This is actually one of the key verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a list, obviously, when it's talking about all these incarnations, is referring to something that's gone on before, some descriptions that have gone on before. There's a description of various incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead throughout the ages. And then the Bhagavatam makes the point, Eti Changsa Kalak Pumsa. Let me just like go through the word by words here. That all these Angsa Kala, they're portions or portions of plenary portions. What does that mean? Plenary means on the same plane, like Krishna, Balaram, Prajuna, Aniruddha, and then the second quadruple expansion, Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. That's a portion of plenary portion. And then there's a portion of plenary portion, a portion of a portion of plenary portion as you go into the different expansions, the Chaturvyuha. Chatur means four. The Chaturvyuha expansions, such as Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajuna, and Aniruddha. So there's Angsha Kala. They're all parts or part of a part. Pumsa means the person, or supreme person. But, two means but, Krishna. But Lord Krishna, Bhagawan, Bhagavan actually means full of all opulences. Swayam, he is the original Supreme Personality. He's from who all the other expansions come. And as I mentioned before, it's not that they come at a certain time or manifest at a certain time. Sometimes it appears that they appear at a certain time, but they're always existing. Indriyadi, the demons, of course, Vyakulam, Okam, Riyantai, Vayuge. He appears in different millenniums, but Krishna is the original. So try to remember that. And how do we also know that Krishna is the original? We can use our logic. Logically, Krishna exhibits more qualities, such as intimate pastimes, intimate devotees, unexcellable beauty, and also plays the flute. The other incarnations, they may play different instruments. Anyway, I'm not going to be too funny about this. So this is actually, it's one of the key verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Key verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So right in the beginning of the Bhagavatam too. So anyway, so let's end right here. And we can take questions. Let's stop sharing. At least for tonight, we'll stop sharing. And we'll allow you all to unmute yourselves. Hold on a second. You are now officially allowed to unmute. So, who has a question?
I have a question if no one else has.
Well, just give other people opportunity. Okay. Rakesh, you have a question?
Buddy.
Who has a question?
Yes, I do. The question is, when you talk about the expansion of Krishna, I thought the first quadruple expansion of Krishna was Vasudev, Pradyuman, Anirudh, and Sankarshna. Not in that order, but those four. But you just said that the first was Balaram, Krishna, Pradyuman, Anirudh.
Well, the first quadruple expansion is Krishna, Balaram, Prajuna, Aniruddha. And then the second one from there comes Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Prajuna, Aniruddha. In one sense, you could say Krishna is the original Vasudeva. I mean, if you talk about it categorically, in categories, you could say Krishna is the original Vasudeva,
Balaram is a Sankarshan, the original Sankarshan, and then Pradyumna. But that's the first Chaturvyuha manifestation. The first expansion from the first Chaturvyuha manifestation is Vasudev Sankarshan Pradyumna Nani Guru.
Okay, so manifestation and extension or...
Well, expansion.
Of course,
actually,
manifestation
Balaram,
was Balaram's.
Actually, everyone's in expansion except for Krishna. Rajendra
that is true.
Balarama is an expansion of Krishna. Arjuna is an expansion of Balaram, and Aniruddha is an expansion of Balaram, and Arjuna and Krishna ultimately. So all three of them are expansions. Krishna is the only one. H.E. Chunks, the Kalakpunsang, Krishna is Stu Bhagavan Swayam. And all the other Chaturvyuha manifestations expand from the original Chaturvyuha manifestation, which is Krishna, Balaram, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Anyway.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Don't worry. Be happy.
The
only person who'll have to worry about all these different expansions is Hrishikesh, because he's going to the Vaikuntha planet. The rest of us just worry about Krishna and the spiritual world. So,
Hare Krishna Gurudev, it's Aridev.
Yeah, all right. Okay, Aridev, good question.
Yeah, Gurudev, so we have Krishna exhibiting the four sweet qualities, right? Like Rupa Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, Lila
yeah.
Madhurya. So other forms won't exhibit those things, or they're just means can't. I guess when Narayana can play.
Well, I mean, obviously, all the forms of Krishna are Rupa Madhurya. They're all sweet.
Yeah,
but they're not intimate. That's the difference. Balaram is intimate, actually. But when you go to the second quadruple expansions, but it's not intimate like Krishna. Krishna has much more intimacy than any other. Krishna has much more beauty. They're all Rupa Madhurya. I mean, they're all beautiful, sweet. But Krishna is infinitely more beautiful and more sweet.
Mm.
You know, so it's like a question of degree. It's not that... I mean, Lord Vishnu also has loving devotees, but they're not as intimate.
Yeah. Okay.
But none of the other expansions plays a flute. Lord Vishnu.
But they can, if they want, they can play, but they don't play.
Like usually they play guitar or violin or something like that. No, that's a joke. I mean, please, don't take it literally. Of course they can play a flute, but they leave that up to Krishna. I mean, if an ordinary jiva soul could play a flute, certainly any incarnation of the Lord could play a flute. But the flute playing, as far as the incarnations of the Lord are concerned, is left up to Krishna.
Hmm.
Krishna's the only... Balaram doesn't play a flute. Some of the coward boys play flutes. It's true. But nobody plays a flute like Krishna does. He's the quintessential flute player.
Hmm.
Leela Madhurya, the sweetest Leela. Like Rama's Leela, you could say Ram's Leela is also sweet. It is sweet. I mean, who could say no? But it's not to the same extent that Krishna's Leela is sweet. And Rama certainly has, you know, Rupa Madhurya, it certainly has a sweet form. I mean, phew. All the sages of Dandakaranya fell in love with Ram. They were ready to just become ladies to associate with Ram until Ram said, Ekapatni Vrata. And then at that point, he said to them, well, you have to wait to take birth again when I appear as Krishna. And then you can have that relationship with me. So, I mean, I'd say it's a question of degree, except for the flute playing. The flute playing is not a question of degree or who plays the flute better. If it was a question of degree, it would be that Krishna plays the flute better than Vishnu. But it doesn't. Vishnu doesn't play a flute. He just leaves it up to Krishna.
Hmm. He doesn't have anyone to call.
I don't know if Vishnu plays other instruments. I mean, I haven't read anything. I know that Saraswati, she plays the veena. So other expansions or energies of Krishna.
I think the horse incarnation, they play some instruments, the form of Vishnu.
My God.
They play a veena.
Hayagriva. Yeah, that's true. He could, because he only has a horse head.
Yeah, he plays veena. He has carries instruments.
And then you have, then Lord Nrsingadev plays intestines. He pulls out intestines and goes, bing, bing, bing. Actually, talking about intestines, this has nothing to do with the Lord. It's described when Ravan wanted to establish his superiority over Lord Shiva, he picked up Mount Kailash. And then Lord Shiva actually put his toe down and crushed Ravana's hands. And then after Lord Shiva let him go, after he glorified Lord Shiva, then it's described that Ravan was able to pull out some of his intestines and actually chant some songs in glorification of Lord Shiva using his intestines as sort of like a bing, 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 you know, as strings. So, anyway, as far as playing a flute, that's Krishna is the only one who does it. So, don't worry. Okay. Oh, Mother Irmla has her hand up. So she has a question. My grandmother. You have to take yourself off mute.
I read that it says that Balaram is the incarnation of Krishna's beauty. So then it's kind of confusing to say that Krishna is the most beautiful if Balaram is the incarnation of his beauty. And it does say Balaram plays a flute. I'm pretty sure that all the coward boys.
That's true. Actually, that's true. Now, the coward boys. But no, I think it's a question of degree. No one does things. No one is as beautiful as Krishna. No one is as good a flute player as Krishna. No one has as intimate devotees as Krishna. And no one has the pastimes that Krishna does.
Doesn't Balaram have all of them?
He's considered to be Krishna looking differently, but from my understanding, that Krishna that's what makes Krishna unique, that he has these things uniquely. So there's some uniqueness that's there in Krishna.
Huh. I wonder what that means about Balaram being the incarnation of beauty.
You actually, for example, you have, what is it, the four Kumaras are the incarnation of the Lord's what? Knowledge potency.
Hmm.
Doesn't mean they're as knowledgeable as Krishna, right?
Right, right.
So someone could be an incarnation, like you could say, like Prabhupada is, in one sense, he's manifesting his incarnation of the Lord's mercy potency, but it doesn't mean to the same degree, necessarily.
Hmm.
Of course, Prabhupada is more merciful than Krishna. Anyway. Anyway, Krishna is two by one swayam. Krishna is the complete whole. Ate chansa kalakvamsa. Krishna is two by one swayam. Krishna. Every other expansion or every other personality of God is an expansion of Krishna. All right, who else has a question? Hi, Radhika, I think you have a question. Your hand's still up? No? No. Pranesha, you have a question.
Yes, Gurudev. My question is like the Krishna is the only Purus and rest are Prakriti. In one side, Prakriti
is inert. No. There's different types of Prakriti. Vishnu, Shakti, Vidyakarma, Sangya, Nyotra, Tir, Shakti, Ishade. Sometimes when we talk about Prakriti, that word refers to the material energy. And Prakriti could also mean female relationship with Purusha. It can also mean the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, depending upon the context. So we are Prakriti also, and Krishna is Purusha. But we are not inert, I mean, most of the time. Or depending on what mode of nature we're associated with, we're either inert or to a certain degree. So anyway, we are conscious living entities. Vishnu Shakti, Para Prakta, Prakta. Krishna has three different types of Prakriti. Para Prakriti, the Apara Prakriti, and then also the Tatashta. Vishnu Shakti, Para Prakta, the transcendental or spiritual nature. She Tragyakya Tatapara. What does that mean? The marginal potency of the Lord, which is ourselves. We are also spiritual, but we can be covered or influenced by the material nature. And then avidya karma sangyanya, tritiya shakti ishate. The third potency of the Lord is known as avidya, ignorant activities, which is the material energy. So those are the three potencies, three general categories of potencies of the Lord. But we are Prakriti, but we're not the Pradhana. We're also transcendental. Para-prakta. We are actually also transcendental, but we can be influenced or covered by the external energy of the Lord according to our desire. Does that make sense? Or no?
Yes, Rudra.
So anyway, so in this particular context, Prakriti doesn't necessarily mean the Pradhana. The Pradhana is sometimes called Prakriti because it's the Lord's Prakriti, Lord's energy. However, there's different other types of Prakriti energies of which we are one, and also the spiritual potency is another category. All right, who else has a question?
Is transcendental and spiritual is the same thing?
That's an interesting question. Let me think about that. Transcend, to transcend the material world. Yes, if one can transcend the material world, one is spiritual. But they use a different context. You say the nature of the soul is spiritual, but he may not be transcending the material world. His nature is transcendental. Yeah, I guess I could use almost simultaneously. Our nature is transcendental, but we haven't transcended the material world. Our nature is spiritual, and it always is spiritual, but we haven't spiritualized our existence either. Anyway, don't worry, it's all word jugglery. Vishnu Shakti Para Prakta Shetra Gyakya Tata Para Vidika Rasangin Yanya Tritir Shakti Ishate. So, who else has a question?
I have a question, Maharaj.
Okay, Pran Govinda, you have a question. What's your question?
Question is on the 66, it says that. Let's see if I can pull it out. The misuse of independence. Let's see.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to hear your view on that. If someone asks that question, that if as a father, if you knew that your child will misuse the individual independence and commit a crime or misuse it, and as they become a cause of misery, aren't you responsible for that?
No. You have to let people learn their own lessons in life. Because you're not, first of all, if you were a parent and you knew that your child by doing so would die, then you're responsible. But Krishna knows that we don't die. Najayate mrite vakadachan, mayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuyaha. And he knows that sometimes we have to do things and experience them because we are stupid. Right?
Yes.
There's more types of intelligence, but two types I'm going to refer to right now is you learn by hearing, and the second type is you learn by doing. And the third type is you do and you don't learn. Anyway. So just even with my parents, they gave me permission to do things like join the Hare Krishna movement, even though they didn't want me to do it. And you could say Krishna is all powerful, he can prevent you, but he understands that you have free will, and sometimes you just have to learn your own lessons. That's the way it is. I mean, if Krishna imposed knowledge upon you, then you would be bereft of free will. So sometimes you have to, not sometimes, you do have to voluntarily surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, there's no relationship without voluntary approaching the Lord or voluntarily loving the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj. Is the structure of free will has a misuse built in?
Of course. If it wasn't built in, then it wouldn't be free will. If we didn't have the choice to not serve Krishna, then how can we say we have free will? It's part of the independence, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. We're qualitatively the same as Krishna. So Krishna has independence. We have minute independence. And of course, Krishna doesn't decide not to serve himself, though.
But it's interesting, very interesting point you made. I never heard that if you would endowed knowledge with us ahead, then it would the misuse, the free will or free choice would not be appropriately applied, or I would say evidence
if you didn't have the chance to act against, let's say, what Krishna is saying or what Krishna wants, then how could you say you have free will? Krishna wants us voluntarily to love him, not involuntarily. I mean, it's not love anyway, if it's involuntary. This is a typical thing that Prabhupada talks about quite a bit. You can't force someone to love you. They always have to have the choice to not love you. If you force someone to love you, it's not love, it's just slavery or threats. I mean, just like, okay, let me use a political example, which I'm very fond of doing. Just like so many politicians in America expressed their support for Donald Trump in the past. Not talking about now. I'm talking about a few days ago. Expressed, why? Because they were afraid that if they didn't express their support for Donald Trump, they would be primaried. And if you don't know what the word primaried means, I'll explain it. Primaried means that Donald Trump would actually go on his little Twitter account, and utilizing his Twitter account, he would make sure that the person wouldn't win the primary to run for election during the next cycle. So therefore, Donald Trump had a lot of chamchas. You know what a chamcha is? You're from India.
Chamcha, yeah. A blind follower or something.
Yeah, it means like a spoon. You should know what it is. It means a yes man.
Yes man, yes.
Yes man. Yes man, or yes ma'am. So chamcha is a yes man. You know, just like you see it sometimes in Indian politics, you said, oh, the so-and-so has so many chamchas. It means spoon, actually. In Hindi, it means spoon, but, you know, like a spoon is a yes man. So anyway, so he had so many yes men or yes women, and a lot of them were his supporters because they were afraid of what they would happen to them if they didn't kiss his feet. Sorry. Didn't say that in class. If they didn't kiss a certain part of his anatomy, they were afraid of what would happen to them. And therefore they act like they loved him, but actually they didn't love him. They thought he was a jerk. Many. So that's not love. Love comes when you appreciate, you love, and you are ready to give your heart and do whatever the beloved wants you to do. That's love. Okay, on that happy note, we love you all. So we'll see everybody tomorrow evening, same time, same station. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada.